I kind of want to know why that bothered you, Marsha.
It feels like somebody was making, you know, like making fun.
You had a crush on Peter. Did he know?
I don't think so.
Does he know now?
Probably. Hi, I'm Eve Plum, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
All right, Eve Plum in the house. Woo-hoo! Welcome to Life Minute.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you. A new book, Happiness Included, which I just finished. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
So much. What made you decide to do it now?
Well, for so long, so many people have asked me to tell my stories for their books. And I never did it because they're my stories. And, you know, I figured, well, when I'm ready, I will tell my stories myself. And so I'm ready.
I felt it was like a love story to all the people you love.
Yes.
And yourself, too.
Thank you.
It wasn't just about Brady Bunch. It was your whole life,
right,
from your childhood to present time, which
yes.
I loved. Did you find it cathartic in a way, or
difficult?
Yeah,
a little bit. It takes forever. Because I'm so used to television, I would say to the publisher, why is this going to take 2 years? Because I'm used to, you know, you get the script on a Wednesday, you're working on Friday. So it was very, very slow. But also I was working with a writer, so she certainly needed time to craft the things that we had talked about. But it was great because I've just always wanted to talk about the pre-Brady stuff that I really love doing.
You came into the Brady Bunch kind of, besides, you know, mom and dad, you were probably the most experienced actor of the bunch.
I guess so. I had been working for 4 years steadily. It was more rare for me not to get a job than to get a job. I just kept booking things all the time as a kid. I could read, I could study lines, I could cry on cue. So I got constantly cast as the little girl in peril. I fell down a well, my dog ran away, died of leukemia, so many problems.
So it was nice to come to this happy show, kind of?
I guess so. It was, because I had done 2 other pilots as well. So it's always just, this is what's happening now. But yeah, coming to a happy show, it was the 1960s, and I had some awareness of the world at large, and I somehow thought that this seemed like it wasn't something that was going to be important to the world in some way of solving some problems. And my mother was very kind and said, you know, well, people need to be entertained, you know, and it's okay to entertain people. So I did the show.
It sounds like you had good parents there.
Very good parents,
very
yes.
Smart and taught you work ethic.
And yes. This was my mom's bracelet.
Really?
Yeah, it's my mom's bracelet.
At that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful.
Thanks,
is
yeah.
Is it one
it's
piece?
It's like this thing, and it's probably from the 1930s.
Wow.
I just never wear it, so it's
That's
in really
vintage.
Good condition. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
Did your mom get along with Florence?
Of course, everybody got along with Florence. Yes. Oh, she was great. She's such a consummate professional, so good to her fans. Just, you know, came from the theater, came from, you know, really pulling herself up out of a difficult home life of poverty. And so she was the one to watch for how you do this.
So you had 2 good families.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And your dad in the music business, RCA, I found that interesting as well.
Yeah, he was in the music business his whole life. And he had played saxophone and clarinet in the big bands. And then he got Bell's palsy and lost his lip, was unable to play. So he had to pivot, as we started saying, in 2020. And he did. He went right into being a record producer and signing artists and did an amazing job. I grew up thinking, well, doesn't everybody's dad have gold records in his office?
Did he turn you on to any music?
No, we actually, because he was also an arranger, he's one of those people who could write down the arrangements for an orchestra and hear all the parts in his head and write it down. He always had a thing where he didn't really want to listen to a lot of music because he felt that if he was going to write a song, he didn't want to end up subliminally copying someone. So he wasn't like, you know, listen to this music. We had music. I mean, I played music. I played vinyl in my room, but yeah.
You said in the book that it's a misnomer that you didn't really like to be associated with Brady
right.
Bunch. Why is why do people think that?
I don't know. And the only Brady thing I didn't do was the variety show. And so somehow it's so weird. I think people want to believe bad things more than they want to believe good things. There are several points that I could tell it till I'm blue in the face and people will still ask me. And it's made up by somebody else who has broadcast it. I don't know.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marsha is at this, or how wonderful Marsha did that. Marsha.
I kind of want to know why that bothered you, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
It feels like somebody was making, you know, like making fun. Like,
really?
It was a taunt, yeah. Doug was making fun of my acting, making fun of me as a little girl. I'm sure everybody's in a schoolyard has had somebody make up some nasty rhyme about their name and pointed at you and chanted at you. That's what it feels like.
I guess when you're so little.
No, it's happened as an adult. It wasn't until it was on Saturday Night Live that it became a thing. So
it bothered
you. Yeah.
And were you always friends with everybody, like right from the get-go?
Yeah, you know, but you're working together, so you don't want to, you know, always hang out with the people you're working with. But we did. And yeah, we all got along. We still, for the most part, get along.
For the most part.
Well, you know, there's always going to be some sort of not a contentiousness, but if you're negotiating and trying to do a new show, sometimes there's differing opinions.
Do you have a favorite episode?
I always liked the ones where we traveled, where we went to Hawaii or the Grand Canyon. You know, that was always fun.
And you've done so much after Brady Bunch as well.
Yeah.
Anything you regretted doing or?
No, because as I look back, none of it is too embarrassing. So, no, I don't.
It's all great stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw her in that. You know, I get that things that I forgot that
right,
you did. There was a lot. Oh, and you said you had a crush on Peter. I thought that was so cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, it was proximity. You know, as a little girl and he's a little boy and we're hanging out. And so I didn't have any other pool of applicants.
Right. Did he know?
I don't think so.
Does he know now?
Probably. Probably. People like to talk about it.
I know you guys are probably still the best friends now.
Yeah, we are. We are good friends with Chris and Kara. Yeah.
What do you think it is about that show that just made it so iconic?
It's just never been off the air. You know, and people, so it's sort of comfort food.
I think of it as kind of like a Friends,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
And you were kind of like Courtney Cox coming on to that, I think.
Okay.
Because she was like established
oh,
an actress,
I see. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
In that way. And then I loved what you said about, I always thought Alice was gay too. I didn't know that she was.
Yeah,
like, why
you know,
do people
and
think
it's,
that?
When anybody, sometimes, you know, when a woman is single past the age of 30, you know, she's immediately branded one way or the other. So, and also she was a no-nonsense person. I don't know. People like to make things up about other people.
Did you feel like you learned things when you're, you know, around them, around the elders?
Well, sure. I mean, it was sort of by osmosis, you know, just being around them. I think that's how a lot of kids learn. You learn by example that people are setting, or by direct instruction. So, of course, yeah.
And then, of course, they reinvented the house, HGTV,
yes.
Which is so neat.
Yeah, that was so amazing.
Tell us about that.
What they did was such a great idea, but that they did it to such an amazing degree. It is to the inch. You know, you forget that you're not on the set, except for there's a fourth wall. It was just really amazing. It was a great experience. It just really went well, and it was a lot of fun.
So what did you do exactly to help?
Well, it was sort of, you know, I mean, we certainly weren't going to be able to design it or actually do a lot of things. So we did a little bit of demo. We brought some things from home. We would tell our stories, but it wasn't as if they were like, well, what do you think we should do with this room? They had their own designers and it had to be them doing it.
And that you're into design too. That was
right.
Kind of
neat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you survived breast cancer.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people didn't know. A lot of times when you tell somebody you've got an illness, they're going to tell you A, what you should do about that illness, or B, their illness story. And I had things to do, you know. The last thing I wanted was like, oh, hon, are you okay? I just need to take care of this, you know. But now I'm perfectly happy to talk about it. Of course, happy to talk about it. And that's just it, is that I ended up helping or advising other women. There'd be just like two or three women, other women with breast cancer in my life right at that time. So anytime anybody talks about that, you know, I'm certainly interested in giving my story to them and telling them, you know, helping them through that.
What would you tell?
Well, I'd say, okay, go here, try this, you know, go ahead and make sure that you're your own advocate. Make sure you have somebody to really help you, because a lot of times, you know, dealing with insurance is hard. And, you know, I know women who have had to go through it by themselves, dealing with the insurance and the health problems by themselves. And it's a slog. But fortunately, because of science, I'm still here today.
And then you're a New Yorker?
15
yes. years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you brought Ken today, which I'm so happy
yes.
to meet him.
Yes, he's so, so supportive. So, you know, such a guy. It looks like I'm doing a lot, but it's us. You know, he's the one figuring it out.
I love how you just like decided, you know, I think we want to go to New York. And he was like, yep, okay. If you get work, and you did. And
yeah.
You just like picked up and went.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
What's your advice for a good marriage?
I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg said in a long marriage, sometimes you need to be a little deaf. You know, remember to just walk away before you flame out.
And what do you guys like to do when you're not working and you're just hanging out?
Well, that's the other thing about a long marriage is we both have our own interests. He has friends. I have friends. It's not a problem. If he goes to the Hollywood Bowl Jazz Festival every year. And I'm not a jazz fan, and he knows that. And that's fine. But I'm not going to keep him from having a good time. He should absolutely go that. He should absolutely watch all the basketball and do all that. I've got other things that I can do. Why wouldn't you want somebody you love to have some enjoyment? The people that are like, oh, my wife wouldn't let me do that. My husband says I can't go. I'm like, that does not sound like a partnership.
Right. What about New York? What do you guys like to do in the city?
We are pretty much homebodies. Ken cooks. We watch TV. So people are like, what's your favorite restaurant? Well, there's one right around the corner from us. I've got two. But we're not big foodies, and it's really pricey to go out in New York. I'm sorry. And because I'm not a foodie, it's not like I enjoy spending that money on the food. I'm not the best audience for gourmet food.
What are you doing in New York? Not a foodie.
I am enjoying my life in New York.
What about L.A.? Did you like being in L.A.?
It's like when you grow up in a town and you know it. You're sort of like been there, done that. That was sort of how it was. It wasn't that much with Laguna. That's where we moved from. It was that Laguna, we realized we were getting to be a certain age, and Laguna is a great town. It's very quiet. And we decided if we were going to do something big, that was the time to move. And that's what's great about New York is that it's open late and busy and bustling and things to do, places to go, people to see. So that was, again, part of why we moved.
I love that. Do you think you'll get any more pets ever?
Gosh, every day I swear he's on these rescue sites. I'm like, stop looking. Aww. You know, he sent one the other day of this cute little terrier. Oh, and I read in the comments, I was like, okay, somebody's already applied because we're not going to go to Texas and get that dog because we have travel plans. We would have to either, oh, look at this cute dog. I was like, you want to cancel the plans, the snorkel trip? You want to be done with that? You know? Yeah. What's great about having a dog is that it pulls you out of yourself. You have to take care of something outside of yourself. And it can be expensive and it can be time consuming, but it's like the second or third day after chemo, I would take her for walks. You know, I had to take her for a walk. Or when I was doing a radiation, even though I didn't want to, have to get up and take her out. And in New York, you know, in all kinds of weather and three times a day, and it's 10 o'clock at night and it's freezing. So you put on your coat and you take the dog outside. And then you feel very self-important. You feel like, I did something.
And if you didn't do acting, what do you think you would have done, like when you were young?
I was never encouraged to do anything else. I probably would have, and as you look back on your life, I would have gone to design school. I would have been some sort of a designer, furniture or tiles or homes, or be some sort of designer wearing very interesting glasses. Maybe have a little bit of an attitude. Very short hair.
Well, you're doing,
you know, like a
glasses.
Like a buzz cut and weird glasses.
Well, you could still do all those things. I mean, you are doing them. You're designing. Mm-hmm. You're an artist. You've been an artist for a very, very long time.
Yeah. You know, Mom would always say when I would say I was bored, she'd say, draw me something. So I'd draw. And then when I got divorced, I was married one time, and I needed something to do. And I needed something to do that wasn't going to cost a lot of money. And so I started painting and drawing and started teaching myself things, started asking other artists for techniques until I was able to finally get something that I liked well enough to put up on the wall. And that's sort of been my way I do it ever since.
And what mediums do you use?
I went through all the mediums. And another thing about painting a drawing or learning anything is that you have to be willing to get past the hard part, because you're always going to come up against it where this isn't working and I don't know how to do it. And I liked it well enough to get past the hard part, except for watercolors. I haven't buckled down on those, but I went to watercolors and acrylics. Casein is an interesting paint. Gouache, but settled on oil. It's very, very, I was going to say transformative, but it's so flexible. You can do it heavy or light or dark, and you can layer it and, you know, change it. You'll never stop learning about painting in oil.
Are you still doing it?
Yes, yeah.
And then plum goods as well.
Plum goods was something I'd always rattled around in my head for a long time, and I'm not quite sure how we decided, okay, let's do it. And I thought I knew what I wanted to do, but then we went ahead and met with a branding company, this wonderful couple, And that was really, really great. It really does help you focus and keep focus, because what they said was, okay, finish this sentence. Plum goods exist too. And I said, put a smile on your face. So that became plum goods, happiness included. That's where then we did that for the coffee, the happiness included coffee, which is all each of the little flavors that have a little dog icon on them, and they're based on little terriers.
It's all so cute.
So yeah, I had thought we were going to have to get wholesale products and warehouse them, but then we discovered that you can put your designs on products yourself. You don't have to warehouse. It's printed when you order it. So that's been so great to be able to design something in the morning and order it that afternoon.
I love it.
Thank
really,
you.
Really great. Tell us about the coffee story with Ken.
Well, yeah, Ken and I both have always loved coffee since we met. Our original email was Coffee Mates. So that was sort of Ken's genius idea. We should do a coffee line. I'm like, okay, great. And we, you know, researched lots of coffee providers, you know, the beans and whatever, and decided on one, and then designed the packaging and did all of that. So that's been great. And then, you know, then you have the line of the mugs that look like the labels, and it's just endless, this whole process.
I love it. What are you currently binging?
Oh, I was so sorry that Shrinking is over.
Oh, I love
that too. The Pit. Yes. Pluribus is great. Oh my gosh, I watched DTF St. Louis, which was odd, but wonderful. And then I dip in with anything that comes new, and I don't end up watching a lot of TV at night. I watch some after, you know, I can maybe good for only 2 hours. And if I'm into the second one that I'm trying, if I don't like it, you know, let it go. Maybe I'll come back later.
Yeah. What about comfort foods, favorite comfort foods?
Like potato chips, spaghetti. I will eat spaghetti anytime.
With cheese on top?
Yes. A slice of cheese. Yeah. I it's one of those family things that you don't think is weird until somebody says it is. Yeah. I'm not a foodie. I don't like spicy food. So that's a drag for Ken, because he loves spicy food. And he does. He's an adventurous eater. I'm like, if there's chicken on the menu, I'm fine.
Oh, what would your current self tell your younger self?
I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine, you know, doing that.
It seems like you're pretty good.
Yeah.
You're pretty smart along the way. Really.
Right.
Everything you did.
Oh,
good job.
Thank you.
What's the key to happiness in life?
Right. Yeah. I'm going to know that. I think you have to find it for yourself.
Well, that's good. To look within yourself, maybe.
Yeah, it's up to you.
What's something no one knows about you that isn't?
Well, I'm whatever it is, I'm not going to tell.
And you look amazing.
You're Thank
really,
you.
You never age. You have a birthday
Thank
coming
you.
Up.
Yes, yeah.
What do you do to take care of yourself?
I don't know. I think I'm probably a fairly fortunate person, is that I can do most anything I would like with my time because of my previous choices that have kept me and us and Ken's choices. It's kept us very comfortable. There's not a lot I have to fight against. A lot of times people say, as I often say, I don't need a vacation, I need a job. I would rather be working. And I usually work right around my birthday, oddly enough. And that makes me happy, because that's what I want to be doing, is working. Yeah.
That's what's next.
Yeah, that's what this is right now, is doing this, the promoting of the book.
Yes. What about acting?
Anytime. I'm available.
Well, I hope we do see you in more. I think it's going to happen.
Thank you. Me too.
Get out there more with all.
Well, that's not up to me.
I'm streaming yeah. platforms.
Right.
I can
yes.
So see you on some of these shows.
Yes,
and I would.
I would be happy to be on those shows. I love TV.
Well, you're such a lovely person.
Yeah.
And your book and everything.
Thank you.
And it's funny and it's sweet and warm, and I love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv.